you are an entrepreneur, a professional, a speaker, or a coach, and although you've come a long way, it's time for you to take it to the next level. We've got you. This is the Author to Authority Podcast. We'll help you use authority and influencer marketing to build your business stronger and faster by publishing a book. You'll hear from guests that are thought leaders in sales, marketing, networking, communication, social media, promotion, and business leadership. Let's do it. This is the Author to Authority Podcast.
And now your host, the extraordinary word ninja, Kim Thompson-Pender.
Welcome to the Author to Authority Podcast. And today, we're going to talk about differentiation. Now, I know in today's world, there's kind of two streams of thought, you know, like you need to be the same as everybody else, because if you're different, you're putting a target on your back. But when it comes to your business, differentiation is the key. One of the keys. There's lots of different keys, but it's a good one that's going to help you just become one of those market leaders, become that authority, become that expert, become successful. And so I have Daniel Den with us here today, and you are going to be so impressed, okay? So he helps business owners discover wildly successful marketing ideas. Now, he became fascinated with marketing and sales almost two decades ago. Today, he's the co-creator of the X Factor Effect mythology, where he and his team, let's get this right, have helped over 20,000 students and clients grow their business. Daniel teaches that different is the new better, and his framework includes 9 pillars for differentiating your business so that you can become a market leader or category king. Welcome to the show, Daniel.
Woo! Thank you so much, Kim Thompson-Pender, the extraordinary word ninja. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. Episode 503. Is that what we are? 502. Don't get it wrong. 502, which is just as cool as 503, of course. I am so excited to be here. Kim, thank you so much. Thank you.
So, Daniel, I'm just going to ask you the obvious question. And what is the power of differentiating when it comes to running a business?
Well, what we like to do is we like to talk about the fact that if you and your business were, let's use the analogy of an apple. And let's say that you were an apple and everybody inside of your business was also an apple. But most everybody, they like to kind of, you know, see what the market is doing. Most people in their business, they will look around, they'll say, what are people doing for their marketing? What are people doing for their logo? Hey, I like the way the person is doing their pricing over here. And they'll kind of take and they'll kind of pick and choose. And what they'll do is they'll mix it all up and they'll say, hey, I like this person's offer. I like the way this person did their logo, and I like the way this person is doing their pricing. I like the way this person structured their business. I like the way this person advertises. They mix it all up and they successfully look exactly like everybody else in the market. And so if you in your market were an apple, what you successfully have done, if you kind of pick and choose and try to mix everything up and try to, and if that's your way of being different, quote unquote, then we like to say that you've successfully become a green apple in your market. And you, if you were an apple in your market and you're a green apple in your market, you would look like all the other green apples in your market. And what you need to do to avoid being this green apple in your market and looking like everybody else is you need to do at least a few things so dramatically different that it moves the needle, but moves the needle in the way that your dream customers love, and moves the needle in a way where you're still an apple, but you're a very desirable apple. So in this analogy of apples, you would try to be the one red apple that stands out in the sea of green apples. So the trick is, can you become that one red apple amongst the sea of green apples in your market? And the question is, how do we do that? So that's what we do. That is what we do here.
And that's what we're going to explore in today's episode. And we're also, I don't usually introduce it this early in the episode, but we're also going to talk about Daniel's book, Ideas That Influence. And I'm hoping he's also going to share something about this very interesting box that he sent me.
Woo, there you go.
So if you're on the podcast, I'm showing this box here. You can watch it on YouTube. If you want to see what the box looks like, I got this box and my first thing was, I'm impressed. Okay. I'm a publisher. So, you know, when it comes to books and stuff, it takes quite a bit to impress me. I was impressed. And I'm thinking, I'm getting some ideas here on how I'm going to help my clients send out their books so that it stands out way above the rest. So I'm hoping, Daniel, that we can get to talk a little bit about this later on in the show. So first, Daniel, let's just cover, you know, what are these nine pillars? Because, you know, it's going to take you a little bit to explain all that. So I want to let you loose to talk about those nine pillars, what they are, and how you use them to differentiate your business.
Yeah, well, we definitely won't have time to go into all nine of them, but let's touch on a few of them and we can start with the box. So the thing that's interesting about books and information, we're in the information age. Information wants to be free, right? That's what they say. Information wants to be free. And so if information inherently wants to be free, how do you stand out? How do you still charge for your information? So what I ran into specifically, Kim, the word ninja that is so great at helping people get their books out, I ran into this issue where I wrote this amazing book and it was based off of we taught our students a methodology and it was all about coming up with big, bold, sticky, and wildly successful marketing ideas. We taught it during a two-day event to our mentoring group. People had paid $12,000 to be part of that group. And they absolutely loved it. So I was like, this would be a great book. So I spent, you know, the year that it takes to write a really good book. I know that Kim helps people do it much faster than a year, but I was one of the ones that didn't.
Nope. It takes a year.
If it's
done, high quality books. I mean, if you want to slap something together, you can have a book out in, you know, and a half decent book, not, you know, extraordinary, but, you know, a reasonable, solid, average book. You can probably have it out in 3 to 4 months. But if you want something really good, really quality, yeah, we take the minimum is 9 months, but it's usually a year to 14 months that we take on our books.
I love hearing that, Kim, because there's so many people that are like, write a book in 2 weeks, write a book in 30 days. And I'm like, what? Like, and then I read those books and I'm like, no, like this isn't a book. This is a transcription of a podcast episode.
Exactly.
and sure enough, if you read the books that teach you how to write a book in 30 days, it's like, well, first you're going to say everything that you want to in an audio, and then you're going to transcribe it, and then you're going to pay somebody like Kim, and Kim's going to look at it and Kim's going to say, yes, this is amazing, right? No, Kim's going to look at it and say, this isn't a book.
Thank you, because we take a month to 6 weeks to put together all the foundational pieces before we even start a book.
Perfect. That's so interesting. So when it comes to differentiation and these nine pillars, Kim, I think we'll do everybody a massive service if we just stick with the concept of books, because, well, we've got between the two of us, we have tons of examples of clients that have done books, and we've got this box that where I try to do something different, and you've got tons of success stories. So when it comes to the book, first of all, I was like, all right, the barrier of entry in today's market for an amazing book is it's got to be quality. So I was the one of the ones that took a full year to put the book together. So at the end of that year, my editor thanked me and said, Daniel, you have no idea how many people give me a transcript that needs just so much editing that it, like, I have to like pull my hair out. But you actually took the time to create something that if we published it as is, it wouldn't be that bad. Like, and she's like, it needs fixing, but it's pretty good the way it is. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And I was like, perfect. So we edited it and it was great. And I split tested the cover. So the cover's pretty cool. I went to 99 Designs and I picked like the top five. And I told the people, I said, we have to have a cover that sticks out. It has to be different because we're all about being different. So we came up with this differentiated book cover. And I split tested it by polling people. I said, okay, here's my top five. Which one's your favorite? And then this was the winner. This was like, people were like, yeah, I could see myself picking it up off the shelf. And it's interesting. And I like it. And I was like, sweet. We've got a good book cover. So when it comes to levels of differentiation, I had the bare minimum, which is a book that is readable.
Let's just stop there for a second because, you know, the thing is that writing a book does differentiate you in the first place. So I like that you said it was the first level of differentiation because, you know, you may not be able to do all of these things, but the book is one of the foundational pieces that differentiate you. When you are an author, people see you as a credible expert more so than someone who's not an author. Even if that other person has more experience than you do, more knowledge than you do, a 22-year-old, okay? My nephew's 20. Okay, so let's say 22-year-old writes a book on something. And let's say it's a good, decent book. Like, you know, not, you know, something childish. They would be considered more of an expert in today's world than someone who is 50, has 30 plus years of experience, who hasn't written a book.
Right, right. It brings a whole level of credibility. It's amazing. Like immediately, it's like when you launch, it's like all eyes on you. Like you might not sell like crazy when you launch that book, but it is like all eyes on you, and your authority status instantly just skyrockets. It's like, whoa, you wrote a book. Perfect. So level one is writing and getting it edited with somebody like Kim and getting it to the point where it's like, good, like this is a good book. And then level two of differentiation was I went the, you know, 4-hour work week, Tim Ferriss example of split testing. Okay. I split tested the name of the book, Ideas That Influence.
Yep.
I split tested the cover. So level two of differentiation, I vetted with the marketplace a cover and a book title. Okay. And those were my winners. Split test, surveys, Ideas That Influence was the winner. And then the cover, this was the winner. So I'm slightly above average as is. Okay. Wrote a good book, have a good title, have a good cover. All right. So here's the rest of the story. Because what we tell people, Kim, is that when it comes to breaking through the noise in your market, you kind of need to stack your differences. You want to stack them in a way where you become kind of a unicorn in your market. And that's why we have 9 different pillars of differentiation. And as promised, we're going to get into a few of them through this example. So the trick is, if I'm going to be that distinctly different red apple in the market that stands out in a sea of green apples, I need to do something distinct enough. A cool name for a book is one step. Mm. A cool cover is another step. But it's like what can really move the needle? And that's where our clients specifically get so many results, because we help them come up with really big ideas that move the needle in really, really big ways to the point where they do become that distinct red apple and they can break through the noise and become a market leader or category king or category queen inside of their markets. And so me teaching this, because we have over 20,000 students and clients, me teaching this and me going to launch a book, Daniel's sitting there and he's like, all right, Daniel, if I am one of the examples of what we teach with the X Factor Effect methodology, how am I going to follow my own pillars in order to launch this book? So I was in this conundrum. And here comes the story. So I'm sitting in a mastermind in Mexico. All right.
Nice place to mastermind.
Yeah. at Iskaret. If you've ever been to Iskaret, that's where I was, at Iskaret. Okay, we're sitting in this mastermind. It's beautiful. It's, you know, and lots of amazing people. And I'm sitting in between some friends. And to the right of me are the Latimers. We've got Josh and Ashley Latimer. I absolutely love them. And they have, I actually have right here. So they have this really cool journal that they did with their kids called the Kid War Plan. And it's a journal for entrepreneurs. So pretty cool. And it sells like hotcakes because it's differentiated and people love it. And I was like, oh man. And they were like telling me their conversion rates on the page and everything. I was like, and in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, people love it and people are buying it like crazy because it's different, and different is the new better. Again, that's everything we teach. So it's like confirming my own teachings, right? And then I'm sitting, and then to the left of me is my good friend, Mark Stern. And Mark Stern, he's all about helping people create these amazing boxes. And he is big on experiential marketing. And he believed what we believe, which was one of our pillars, that we are in the age of experience. Now, this is hopefully an aha moment for everybody listening, Kim. So Kim, in the age of experience, this is how it works. We all have enough stuff. Going back to information, we all have enough information as well. So we all have enough information. We all have enough stuff. In fact, we have so much stuff and so much information that a lot of times we do not want more stuff or more information. We have pretty much, we're blessed, all right? We are overly blessed with information and stuff. That's why junk removal is such a big industry. All right, I'm going to pay the dude $1,000 and he's going to come and he's going to take away all my junk. All right.
Which won't tell you how much stuff we got rid of when we moved across the country. I just won't tell you because I'm almost embarrassed.
We full-time traveled for 3 years as a family, and we got rid of like all of our stuff. And it was so liberating to get rid of stuff. Like, and now we're like, maybe I'm like talking to my wife and I'm like, maybe we're minimalists. Maybe. I don't know, but maybe we're minimalists. So anyway, but it is liberating. And so the whole point of it is, in the age of experience, we all have access to too much information and too much stuff. So the question is, what is it that we do, that we desire specifically with our disposable income? What do we like to spend our money on? And the answer is, we like to spend our money on experiences. We all cannot get enough of a great experience. And that's why many of us already have our next two vacations planned. We all love a great experience. Right, Kim?
Amen.
Amen. And so my friend Mark Stern, he's all about experiential info products. And I'm like, boom, Ideas That Influence can't just be a book. It has to be an interactive book box experience. And so what I ended up doing with the help of Mark is I launched the very first free plus shipping interactive book box experience. And it had a few goals. The first overarching goal was to give people an amazing experience as they read the book. And the second big goal was to increase consumption rates, because as authors, it pains us that people buy our book and then have the gall to not read it. How dare you, right, Kim? We put all this blood, sweat, and tears into the book and they let it sit on their shelves. Shame on them, right? Right?
Right.
So through the age of experience, we were like, okay, let's give people an experience along with the book. Let's increase consumption rates. And ultimately, let's increase back-end conversion rates, okay? Because if you're good, if anybody that's out there and they're like, I'm going to give away this massively cool thing for free and ship it to people's homes, you have to have the back-end offer in order to back it all up, or the math, it just doesn't work because that's just economics for you. So those were the main three goals. And so it was all about the experience and it was all about increasing consumption rates. The thing about being an infopreneur, as you know, Kim, is that information is the commodity, but the experience, when people read those stories while learning the information, that's not a commodity. anything that brings the experiential aspect to the book, through the book, anything that you can add to it. If you add a challenge to your book, that's an experience, right? So that's why you have so many people where in today's age, they will sell their book, and then the book comes with what? A free 1-hour consultation, or this free something other experience, or this free challenge. In our case, we have the box experience. And so that's one of the 9 pillars, Kim, is join the age of experience. Now, we promise people 9. We can hint on a couple more. But do you have any thoughts on that before I jump into one of the other pillars?
Okay, we can be talking for an hour on the thoughts that I have. What I would love for you to do, Daniel, because we did promise them 9 pillars. Could you just at least list off the 9 pillars, and then we'll spend the rest of the time, maybe another 5 or 6 minutes, just focusing in on maybe another 1 or 2. And then there's a question I ask every author that comes on the show. So I do want to ask you that question.
Oh, I know that question. I'm ready for that one.
I know, but we do have to give them the 9. We promised them 9 in the title.
Promised the 9. So oh no. Oh no. All right, here we go. Here's the 9. Here's the 9. All right. All right. Right. So, these aren't in any particular order. But the first most important, it does have to do with avatar, so we say marry the perfect avatar. If it's just the unavoidable pillar where you have to dial in your perfect avatar. So we say marry the perfect avatar. The perfect avatar is who you want to work with. And it just so happens that they also want to work with you. That's marrying the perfect avatar. We say as another pillar, apply the Apple effect. So this is all about branding. And more than just branding, creating a family of brands that support each other. So Apple does an amazing job of not only creating amazing names for their product, but also coming up with amazing names for all the features of their product. So Apple created the iPhone and concurrently created the App Store, which came for free as part of you getting the iPhone. And then there's iTouch, and now there's Apple Pay, and so a family of brands. So that's one big way to differentiate. On top of that, and very similar to that, is another pillar where we say lead your tribe. We actually have an acronym, TRIBE. It's all about creating a tribe, a community around your brand. That's a big, big, big one for differentiating. Become an impact warrior is another one of the pillars. Because in today's world, people vote with their wallet in a lot of ways. And a lot of people are making purchase decisions based off of, well, quickest example is, I have a friend of mine, dear friend of mine, and he does not like going to Starbucks. And I really like going to Starbucks. And he says, but Starbucks equals evil. And I say, well, maybe, but I really like Starbucks.
See, I'm Canadian. I'm a Tim Hortons person all the way.
Tim Hortons.
I only go to Starbucks when I absolutely have no other choice.
Yeah, the line's too long at Tim Hortons, and then you go to Starbucks. I get it. And that's part of the tribal aspect as well. So that leads back to tribe. Another one of the pillars is follow the celebrity code. That's where, in the case of the Author to Authority podcast, you're helping people become celebrities. You're helping people become experts and authorities through their book. And it is an amazing way to differentiate your business by putting that face to the brand, because people like to do business with people, not businesses, right? So follow the celebrity code. Create ideas that influence. So the book, this is one of the pillars. Creating ideas that influence is all about coming up with your big, bold, and sticky and wildly successful marketing ideas that break through the noise. And we've got 2 more. The last 2 are enter the offer matrix, and basically that's all about creating offers that are unique and that are different. That could be through bundling. That's one of the easiest ways, but there's lots of different ways that we teach people to create amazing offers so that you can't be compared apple to apple.
Yes.
You actually want to be compared when it comes to your offers and your pricing and everything that you do. You want to be compared apples to oranges or a green apple to red apple at least. And then the last one is sexy up your sales process. And that's all about selling differently than everybody else in your market. That can be done through really sexy funnels. It can be done in the offline world through very sexy sales processes as well. But that's the nine. That right there are the nine pillars of business differentiation that we teach through the X Factor Effect. And the goal, Kim, the ultimate goal isn't to do all nine. It's to pick three or four and start with those. And usually if you can stack three or four big differences, then you've moved the needle enough where it goes all eyes on you. Just like when you launch that book and all eyes are on you because you did something different. We want all eyes on you, but we want it permanently all eyes on you inside of your niche market where you're so different that you are the unicorn in your market, but the unicorn that people love, that really sexy unicorn that people love. And where it's like, do we buy from the sexy unicorn or do we buy from everybody else that looks absolutely the same? And that's people's choice. Some people are going to go with everybody else that looks absolutely the same, and some people are going to go with you. And for the right percentage of that market share that goes with you, that elevates you as a market leader or category king or category queen inside of your market.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Oh, man. Okay, Daniel, you're coming back because there's so much we could dive into here today, and we not have the time. So I'm not even going to start that conversation.
I wanted to hear your ideas.
Ask me the question.
I wanted to hear what you had to say.
You talked about the sexy sales system, and you know, one of the things that differentiates RTA Publishing is we actually, like, I have a sales system. It's very simple. You know, it's non-tech. It's all very just communication and conversation and how you have those conversations and things like that. But when I was developing the new product last year, I was working with a specialist who interviewed my clients to see what differentiated me from other people. And I had given him a list of things. And, you know, he confirmed that most of those things were correct. But the one that surprised me, the one that they thought was the most important, okay, that was lower on the list for me, but the one that they thought was most important is I actually have a complete system for writing, editing, and publishing and producing these books. And it's a very visible system. And one of the reasons people went with me is because I could show them that I have a system in place for producing these books. And I didn't realize the power of that system because people felt instantly comfortable because I had a process in place. So I wasn't winging it. I have a well-defined process. So that was just the little thought. But Daniel, we got to get to the question. I have to be fair to my audience, and I have to ask you the question I ask every author that comes on the show.
All right, we got it,
Daniel.
I'm ready. I know it. I know the question. It's a three-part question, right?
So what was the good, the bad, and the ugly of writing, editing, and publishing that book?
The good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm going to be 100% honest with you. So, Kim, the good is that it's like people absolutely love it. Like they are blown away. Like I conceptualized it. I vetted it. Like I told people about it. I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to put, you know, these experiences in the envelopes. And then like people's eyes would get big. And I'm like, this is amazing. You're going to crush it. And so that was the good. Like I kept on getting all this positive feedback and I launched it. And then the positive feedback continues. One out of every three people that have bought from me so far have posted about it on social media, posted about my book without me asking them to. So just absolutely like, oh my gosh, to the point of tears of happiness that the feedback has been so great from the people buying that they just feel like compelled to share about it on social media. The ugly was it's very complex what I did. It is very complex. And we ran into multiple bottlenecks because some of the pieces inside of the box, I made it so complex that to bring costs down, we had things shipped from China and produced in China to bring the cost down, and that bottlenecked us. So I wrote the book and had the book edited, and then it took another year because I came up with this incredible idea to put it into a box experience and all the bottlenecks. So the biggest lesson from that, when it comes to the good, the bad, and the ugly, the bad and the ugly is, if you're going to do something super incredible, go ahead and pinpoint possible bottlenecks, right? And try to avoid those. So come up with your big list of, you know, 50 ideas for your really cool thing, and then pick the simplest ones that land the biggest punch, because I could have simplified the box and not run into as many bottlenecks and still had nearly the same impact. I'd say that was the bad and the ugly, as I super increased my complexity to the point of, I did it in some ways unnecessarily, but it was my first time ever doing something like that. So, you know, you live and you learn. You live and you learn. Next box that we do, it's going to be way, way, way simpler, and it's going to have the same punch. So,
yay.
Yeah.
Let's go. Oh, my friend, we've only got a couple of minutes left. So what I would love for you to do is to share a final thought with us. And then, how can people connect with you? And if they're really interested in the box, and I highly recommend you get the box. I don't have a lot of spare time, but I'm working through the box. You can see I've got my bookmark. I am reading the book. I am working through some of the things in the book. But how can they connect with you?
Awesome. Thank you so much. Final thoughts. You know, different, you know, in the way that your customers love is one of the big keys to breaking through in your market. Like, it's like, be different in a way that your customers love. Don't just be different for the sake of being different, right? Don't, you know, funny side story. There, one time I put on like this wig and this cowboy's cheerleading costume. And this was like 2007, 2008 that I did it, and shot a video, and I got tons of views because I dressed up like a cheerleader. That is not different in a way that necessarily your dream customers love. It's just not. So do things that are different in a way your customers love, and you break through the noise the right way that generates sales. Once you have all that aligned, and you're on the way to success. The way to connect is, I'm on socials at Daniel Dinn Official. And then the box, as I mentioned before, it's free plus shipping. You can grab one at Big Ideas with an S, bigideasbox.com, bigideasbox.com. You just go there, click on the button, and you put in your shipping information, and you just pay shipping and handling. And I'm going to send the whole box out to you, with a book, of course, for free plus shipping.
Thank you so much, Daniel. It has been a joy and a pleasure having you on the show today. Audience, we are at the end of the show, so you know what's coming up next. I'm going to tell you the next video that you should be watching, and I would love to direct your attention to episode 481, Lead Generation Unleashed, Transforming Prospects into Profits. If you're watching on YouTube, my daughter has placed the thumbnail on the screen here somewhere for you to click. And if you're on your favorite podcast app, make sure that you just use your finger. You're only going to be scanning back about 20 episodes ago. 20 episodes back. I would love to encourage you. I don't say this very often, but if you're on YouTube, please hit subscribe so that you can get our twice weekly episodes. Also, if you're on your podcast app, you can, you know, click it so that you get notified every time Author to Authority goes live twice a week. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you on the very next episode. Bye now.
You've been listening to the Author to Authority podcast. The extraordinary word ninja, Kim Thompson Pinder,
has helped over 200 entrepreneurs, professionals, speakers, and coaches write and publish their books that have become incredible marketing tools for their business. And many of those have gone on to become Amazon best-selling authors and have used their books to land high-level clients and get on big stages. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, hit the website at www.author2authoritypodcast.com. See you next time.